Welcome to Queensway Pentecostal Church, leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed and inspired by today's message.
This week, we're going to talk about peace, all right? And in the video, the shepherd did a good job talking about peace and what it means. But scripture reminds us every Christmas that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. How many of you know that? That Jesus is the Prince of Peace. You know, peace for me seems elusive sometimes. I don't know about you in our world these days, but peace can seem elusive at times in my own life and in those around me. My whole life, many people, young and old, have been campaigning for peace in our world. I don't know if this is the same for you, but my whole life, I've read and watched shows on TV and listened to music and read lots of articles and books about peace in our world. Some articles about how peace can be attained, others how peace may be impossible, but it's people's whole lives have been committed. Activists and political leaders have been committing their whole lives to achieve peace in our world. You see, we live in days that seem troubled for many people. How many would you agree with me that these are troubled days for many people? Maybe yourself or someone you know, all right? Yes, absolutely. Whether it's different forms of anxiety or depression, schizophrenia, general confusion, many of us are filled with things that cause us grief, both mentally and physically. There's not a lot of peace for many people. Christmas is a reminder of this. It's a reminder of who we worship and what we celebrate. That's what Christmas is. It's a reminder of who we worship and what we celebrate. There's some people that I know that have been trying their best over their life to convince me that Christmas was started by Coca-Cola, all right? And that if it wasn't for Coca-Cola, that there wouldn't be Christmas because it's a marketing gimmick and that's why there's Santa on the pop cans and all this stuff. And sometimes I just want to sit there and stop and say, please remember that Santa is not Christmas. He's just a fat white guy that we put on stuff, all right? Christmas is Jesus, and that's what we celebrate. You see, this Christmas and this third Sunday of Advent, my prayer is that every one of us would take a deep breath of the Lord's presence today and throughout Advent, and we would breathe in the peace of the Lord upon our lives. To bring peace to our situations, we need God to breathe fresh life of peace into our situations. You know, as I grow older, I find the Christmas season to be more and more busy. Raise your hand if you've been exceptionally busy so far this year. It's okay to admit it. There's nothing wrong with it, all right? I figured this year, if I hadn't added one thing to my calendar, whether it was church-related or personal, I would still have been busy this Christmas. There's just more crazy people at the mall. You try to get something done, there's crazy people there. I saw Phyllis and Bridget at the mall yesterday. Crazy people, all right, doing their thing. All right, they're not crazy, don't worry. But the truth is that as we move forward, and as I age and go into the depths of the world, I find that Christmas is super busy. It's probably true for all of us. So let's open to our scriptures today. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse 4 and go all the way to verse 20. And it looks like we got our slides ready to go, so that's excellent. So if you don't have it, don't worry. Just look up at the screen, unless you're Ray J, because you probably can't see over my head. That's all good. But or you can maybe see around me. I don't know. We'll see. But let's look at Luke chapter 2, verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. That would be Joseph. To be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Imagine going with your fiance to the place where your family's from and your family figuring out that you're not married and she's pregnant and you're not the father. That's, you could laugh there. It's okay. Maybe not. Okay. It was just a tough crowd today. Wow. Again. Okay. It's very interesting to say the least. Verse 6, and while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Verse 19, "But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them." What nobody can deny is that the birth of Jesus signifies the single greatest event in history. It literally marks our past and our present. His coming reminds us that we have a past that is gone and a new day as he turned death into life in each and every one of our lives. So we know that Jesus' coming is significant both spiritually and historically. I had this for those of you that went to college, university, I don't know if you had famous professors in your school, but I went to Tyndale. None of my Tyndale people are here today. They're away. But when I went to Tyndale, there was a professor. His name was Fred Penner, which is interesting. Anyways, we just called him Dr. Penner. Anyways, but he was a real interesting guy. He taught the Pauline letters, which is Corinthians and stuff like that, to undergraduates. And I remember him speaking at chapel one time. And he was a funny guy, dry sense of humor, and heart marker, though, I found out. But anyways, he was very interesting. And I remember he said in chapel one day, as a school would gather weekly for chapel, and he said this. He said that he didn't care whether you called it A.D. or B.C. or B.C.E. or A.C.E., something like that. I forget. I get it all confused. Because he said, at that point, a lot of Christians were getting bothered that the scientists and smart people had changed it from before Christ to after death and changed those meanings. But the truth is that Jesus, when we look at history, you can call that time whatever you want. You can call it before the common era. You can call it after death. You can call it whatever you want. But here's the truth. And he said that this day. He said, Jesus marks that moment in history, no matter what we want to call it. And that's the honest to goodness truth. You can call it before Christ and after death. You can call it before common era, et cetera, et cetera. The truth is that Jesus marks the change in history from the past to the new, from the old to the new, from the old things have passed away to the new things have come. So today our first point is this. History matters. We live in a world that honestly, at best, sometimes is disrespectful to history on a diverse number of topics. Humbly, I'd like to suggest that even the church, even people like us, are sometimes guilty of being arrogant enough to believe that because we live in these modern times, that we know the right answers to the toughest questions. Have you noticed this these days? We always say, we have grown, we have developed, we have, I forget the word I'm looking for. Anyways, we have moved forward in history. So therefore, in all of our supreme intelligence, we don't say it this way, but all of our supreme intelligence, we find this to be true about history. Or we think that this is something wrong that we've done in the past. And on a number of topics. But the truth is that is a prideful spirit when it comes to history sometimes. Yes, some things need to change, of course. I would agree with that. but other things don't need to change. You see, in these modern times, we claim that we know the right answers to the tough questions, especially when these questions reject what history teaches us. What if everything we know isn't all correct in the end? I always think of this all the time. I've mentioned it. I don't know if I've mentioned it to you guys, but when I was in high school, I remember a teacher teaching us that, and I don't know if anyone was around for these moments. I'm not going to look in any specific direction. But apparently, when there was a time in the, I'm not sure if it was in the 50s or 60s, I forget when, maybe it was in the 40s, but like you went to the shoe store, and in the shoe store, they'd have these machines that would do x-rays on the spot of your feet. Like you just put your foot in something, and this x-ray screen would be there, and it would show your foot moving around and what your foot looks like, all the bone structure. Well, what we learned was that that was incredibly radioactive, all right? And so this would never happen in Canada. This sounds like an American idea, so it wasn't us, all right? But this was incredibly radioactive, and so shortly after these machines were installed in stores, they were removed to never be seen from again or heard from again. But the truth is, what if everything we know isn't all correct in our world today? What if we are arrogant and prideful in certain areas? You see, Jesus reminds us in the first few verses of this text that as Mary and Joseph did as they were told by God, they were literally fulfilling the words of the prophets. We're uncomfortable with the words of the prophets in our day. We're uncomfortable with it. Even some of you, I say prophet, I say prophetically and prophets a lot because I'm interested in this stuff. I believe God speaks prophetically to us, but some people are hugely uncomfortable with it. Some people in my family are hugely uncomfortable with it when I talk like that. But the truth is that Jesus' coming was fulfilling the words of the prophets in Scripture. I think we can agree on that. Obviously, they looked at things differently. When we think of Mary in these passages, there was no New Testament to read from because Mary was carrying what was and is to come in her belly. All right? That's what was going on. But still, they looked to the past to learn and be instructed and to find hope and faith for tomorrow. The tomorrow that would bring peace and deliver God's chosen people. That's what these folks were waiting for. They were waiting for deliverance. They were waiting for rescue. Our second point today is this. Our first one was history matters. Our second is this. The king comes forth. The New King James Version starts verse 7 slightly different than what I read to you already. It says this. In Luke chapter 2, verse 7, New King James, it says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." You see, there is deep significance when it comes to these words. When it says, "She brought forth her firstborn son." One commentator wrote this, "One of the striking things about Luke's narrative is how simple it is in contrast to how great the events are. In our modern age, small events are often inflated with over-description and presented as more important than they actually are. Yet under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Luke presented this most amazing event in an understated manner." What a great lesson for us today. You see, this young woman passed by her world. She wasn't noticed in any way except for the fact she was, something was going on with her. Likely had to deal with tremendous personal upheaval as her pregnancy months passed on and on. I always think of the personal cost for Mary to carry the Son of God. She knew what she was doing, but those around her wouldn't understand. Literally carrying the hope of the world. She bore that physical responsibility for carrying the Son of God, birthing the Son of God and caring for the infant baby Jesus. Here's a short story I hope you find amusing. For anyone who has had a baby or being around a pregnancy and birth, you know that it's not necessarily peaceful. Would you agree with me if you've given birth? It's not necessarily peaceful. Even if you're a guy and you're just like in the vicinity, you know it's not necessarily peaceful. Arlene became a birthing pro after she had Leland, I realized. When we went to the hospital as Lincoln was about to be born, Arlene, she had it down. She knew exactly what was going on. I think she was able to enjoy the experience a little bit more. She would disagree. Anyways, one of my best memories as we arrived at the hospital and we're waiting for the point in the birthing process where they get you, the nurses get you set up in a birthing room, et cetera, et cetera. So in the hospital in Mississauga where Lincoln was born, there was an area where the moms would come in, would wait until they were ready to go into the birthing area. It's kind of like a ward room kind of thing, just a few beds in there. It was a larger space. It had beds. It had curtains for privacy, but you could hear everything going on in the room. Different mothers would come and go. We weren't there too long before I just followed Arlene, actually. It was more of what really happened. Arlene went into the birthing room. I followed along. One couple came in as we were waiting, as Arlene was having contractions. One couple came in. Truthfully, as the mom was rolled in, I couldn't help but laugh. I don't know about you, but there's inappropriate times to laugh, especially in hospitals, especially in birthing areas, all right? I couldn't help but laugh. She would be screaming and swearing and say to the dad that mean things about him. And as she would have contractions, and I remember the nurse would come in and check on her, and this mom, this soon-to-be mom, would only discover after a while that she wasn't very far along in her birthing process. She wasn't dilated enough. And every time she would cuss out like a sailor and say things I hadn't heard in years. The nurse asked if it was her first child, and the lady nicely said yes. Well, that was the answer. The truth is, it certainly was not graceful for this woman. Obviously, she did what she had to do, I guess. I laughed, and I tried not to make Arlene laugh while she was having contractions. I think when we think of the literal impact of Mary, we begin to see the depth of her sacrifice, her part in Christ's story. And she brought forth her firstborn son. Let me take a moment to pause here as a sidebar. But most scholars believe that the fact that the scripture said firstborn son is to speak to the fact that the Catholic Church would have a tradition that says that Mary was a virgin her whole life. The scripture actually points us in a different direction. It points us to the fact that Jesus was her firstborn son. But there could have been other brothers in the hood, if you know what I mean. All right? There was other siblings going on there. So just a point of reference. You see, the phrase is filled with wonder, and she brought forth her firstborn son. The scriptures do not speak of any help for this young woman. There certainly weren't technological advances for this moment. Even sci-fi films have robots helping with the birthing process. She was separated from her family. There was nobody. There was no one to speak of to her aid, except, of course, Joseph. The birth of King Jesus brought the king forth. The world had and has never seen a moment like this in all of history. You see, this king, born of a virgin, came forth. And today we declare things like, all hail King Jesus. All hail the Lord of heaven and earth. You see, he is the Lord of heaven and earth, the Savior of the world. So our second thought was this, the king comes forth. Our third, we move to these thoughts, heavenly hosts, now and forevermore. You see, church, God uses what the world has forgotten. I want to encourage you. There was nothing fancy about these shepherds. I like to think of them as shepherds. That's what they were. They were shepherds. What I love about people in Scripture like these shepherds is that I can relate to them. You see, we can relate to them. They were doing what God called them to do at the time he called them to it, and they were prepared to hear the voice of the Lord. Church, there's a reminder here for us. Be prepared for God to prophetically speak to those who are doing what God has called you to do at the time he's called you to do it. Let me say it again. Be prepared for God to prophetically speak to those who are doing what God has called you to do at the time that he has called you to do it. I've heard some say that God has called them to care for their grown kids and grandkids. Some would say that God has called them to care for a spouse, for their spouse in need. Others are called to stay in the job that everyone has told them to leave behind, but they know that's where God has called them to. I look at myself, and even pastors are sometimes called to stay despite signs and encouragement from outside voices counseling them otherwise. Here's the word of the Lord. You see, when God has called you to something, to a place, to a post, there's nothing that can remove you from that calling. You are in that place so that the Lord can prophetically declare to you that He is Lord. He can and will move the mountains around your circumstances to do whatever He has set out to accomplish. In this prophetic declaration of Scripture in Luke chapter 2, we read these words, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased." We are reminded that when the Spirit of God speaks, God is praised in the highest places. When the Spirit of God speaks, God is praised in the highest places. You see, the Spirit of God brings peace to us among those who He's pleased with. One commentator noted this: even the pagans of the first century would sense this need for peace and a Savior. Epictetus, I practiced and I still mess it up, a first century pagan writer expressed this: while the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of heart for which man yearn for more than even outward peace. Isn't that us today? We have peace. Canada, we're not at war with anyone in particular. You know, there's not a draft where all the young men are being and women are being taken up to go fight in a war. Yes, that happened in our past, but that's not happening today. There's peace in our land. There's peace. There's not war on land and sea. You can circle our country and all the waters, and there's no war going on. But the truth is, the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, but he's unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of heart for which man yearn for more than even outward peace. You see, we can't look to man. You can't look to me. We can't look to the government. We can't look to political leaders or leaders in our community or leaders in our workplaces, whatever it is. We can't look to man for peace. We can only look to God. We can only look to Him sending His Son, the Prince of Peace. Another commentator wrote this: let God have all the glory so we may have the peace. It's good. May our prayer today be that we are the people who God's peace rests upon. You see, we are chosen by Him. Holy Spirit, may your peace rest upon us, your people today. May your goodwill rest upon us today, O God. So our third point was heavenly hosts now and forevermore. Our fourth one is this: run quickly. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph. I have another story for you. I don't intend to make fun of the person I'm describing in this story. They're not here to defend themselves today. It's someone I don't think have ever met. But I'm not sure about you, but my parents, you can think about your parents here for a second. My parents had some strange friends when I was growing up. They were weird. They were decent people, but some of them just had weird quirks about them. I couldn't figure it out. The worst part was I thought it was normal until I grew older and realized how weird their friends were. One of them in particular, my parents are going to be here next Sunday, so I got to say this now. One of them in particular was a special breed. This individual, they loved Hillsong. They were an original Hillsong fan from way back in the 80s. They loved them some Hillsong, before it was even cool to like Hillsong. Anyways, at one point, one of the Hillsong worship leaders came to our church in Barrie for an evening of worship. A worship concert. That's Anyway, believe that. I was running the video that night, so I got in early. I was running the video screens and stuff like that. So I got in early. The lineup for this event was around the corner of the church. It was actually incredible. I'd never seen this many people lined up to come to our church before. This one friend of my parents, the Hillsong super fan, well, they were at the front of the line. I could see them through the doors of the church. They were right there ready to go at the front of the line. You see, this person was a very proper person in their home. At your church, when they would come over to visit, they were always very proper, very well manicured. The clothes always fit correctly and were whatever. You know that kind of person. Nothing was ever out of place. You would look at them and you'd think, does your hair ever move? It's just, it's always there, right? On this day, my goodness, I've never seen someone run 100 feet this fast in my entire life. The doors opened and like a bullet, this person ran to get the best seat in the house. I couldn't believe it. They went to get the best seat in the house. I can still see them bolting it down the church aisle, hoofing it, hair flying out of place. I'd never seen it happen before. Oh, man. I give you this little story to tell you this truth. When the Spirit of God is at work, we need to run quickly. We don't run away from it. We run to it, of course. I learned a long time ago from a sermon by one of our pastors, Matt Tapley, in our district. If you want God to move, start a fire. I've been privileged to see and hear how God has moved in churches around our world. One of the common threads I see is that they start a fire and God sends his people. But Pastor, it can't be that easy to see people come to the Lord. Church, don't you want to be around people that are filled with the Spirit of God? I don't want to be around complainers, Montreal Canadian fans. Laker fans, my gosh. I've said a few times lately, it wasn't on purpose, but it's true still. I think God's been asking me to say it or getting me to say it. But when the Spirit of God has left the building, we begin to pick at each other. We begin to pick at each other. You see, God is a God of peace and breakthrough. God, would you come in these days, just as you brought your peace to your people upon your coming as an infant born of a virgin, bring peace and breakthrough to your people here today, oh God. You see, we need a touch from your Holy Spirit today, Lord. We must always run quickly when it comes to the things of God. So our fourth thought today was run quickly. Our fifth one is this. Tell his story. So here we are today. This is this message of love, hope, and peace that the Lord Jesus brings to us. Well, what do we do with it? Pastor, what am I supposed to do with all these things you've said? Church, just as the shepherd so well articulated, we must go from this place glorifying and praising God for all that we've heard and seen. As I mentioned earlier, the shepherds have significant meaning for me. For me, they are most like us. There's angels and wise men in the biblical story of Christ coming. And there's something majestic about those descriptions. But the shepherds were just folks like you and like me. Taking care of our daily responsibilities, protecting what the Lord has given to us. Out of nowhere, they heard the voice of the Lord to declare to them what was taking place in the city of David. Church, God has a plan for every one of our lives. I was sharing this week with someone about our church. I did it very nicely and eloquently, And the truth is, they still got nervous when I invited them to church. But I still was able to share the love of God with them. You see, I believe that God has a plan for every one of us. He will provide opportunities for us to tell about his great love that he has for us and that he has for this whole world. So, church, as we close today, let's pray that the Prince of Peace will walk with us this week and bring peace into every situation that we are facing, every circumstance that we are dealt with, that God would come in grace and peace towards us today.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. If you would like more information on who we are, visit our website at qpcespanola.com.